This evening, our reading comes from Acts chapter 8. And if you have the Bible, the NIV that you picked up in the hallway, it's on page 1101. 1101. It's chapter 8, and we're going to start reading at verse 26, and we read down to the end of the chapter. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out on his way. He met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, which means Queen of Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit said to Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is a passage of scripture that the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began at that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared in Azotus, and travelling about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Well, may God bless that portion of his word. And as we look at it this evening, we pray that God would help us to understand more of his tremendous love, grace and mercy that he has for us in Jesus. Amen. I don't know if any of you have been in a desert. I certainly haven't, but my son went on holiday to America, and he wanted to travel from Los Angeles to Las Vegas, and he hired a car. And when the hired people told him he was going through a Death Valley, he said, "Whatever you do, get plenty of water, because people have been on that road, they've broken down, and they've died. A number of people have died." So my son brought huge cartons of water, placed them in the boot, and travelled. He didn't use many of them. The car went okay, and he went to Las Vegas. But things can happen. In our situation here that we read, a personal ministry on a one-to-one basis is as effective as of mass numbers. And here we have such a situation. Nothing is to be despised by us as unimportant with regards to God's work. God is showing us here that one soul is important to him. And this is the situation. Here's this eunuch. He's been to Jerusalem to worship? He says so in scripture here. He was worshiping, he came to Jerusalem to worship. He was a religious man. Yes, and he was an educated man. He was a chancellor of the exchequer. He had all the queen's treasury in his hand. I don't know if I would ever get to that position of being chancellor of the exchequer. I'd probably lose a lot of the money, probably. But, you know, you've got all that money that at your disposal. And he was a man that could be trusted, because the queen wouldn't have trusted him with all her treasury unless she could trust him. Here we see how important it is not only to be obedient to God's order, to come to know him as Lord and Savior of our life, but that we also are obedient to what God tells us in his word. You see, salvation comes by faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. It doesn't come because of we feel like it. It doesn't come because we would, well, it's a thing to do. But it comes by the power of God opening our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and softening our stubborn, hard heart. Here is one of God's children, Philip. He's a deacon in the church. He is led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in this man. He was so prominent that the people in the early church chose him amongst others to be elders in the church. This is the situation. Here is this man. He is on fire for God. He is in tune with God because he's listening to God and he's obeying God. God tells him, this is what we have here. Arise and go towards the south, along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. God, you want me to go down that road, desert? Why? There's nothing there. There's no people living there. There's only people passing through. Why do you want me to go down there? You see, sometimes we can ask God questions like this instead of just obeying. And here it is. This man, Philip, and he obeys. He goes without questioning God. This is what scripture tells us, that he goes. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot was reading Isaiah the prophet. This one man, he's in his chariot. He's on his way home. He's been to Jerusalem to worship. You know, we can come to worship God. We can come to the house of God. We can hear God's word being preached. We can sing the wonderful hymns. We can read the word of God. And we can still not know God as our Savior and Lord. And loads of people are doing this. They come into a church. They think they're being good in the sight of God. But have they got a relationship with God? Here was this religious man. He'd come all the way from Ethiopia to Jerusalem to worship. Probably he was a convert to Judaism, a proselyte. And he'd come to worship. He was on his way home. And yet, as he was reading God's word, he'd bought scriptures to read on his way home. And yet, he was outside of God's kingdom. He needed to get right with God. God knew it, because God knows everything about each and every one of us. Wow, what a a wonderful computer. You know, if we could know everything about everything, we'd be amazed. But God knows everything about us. He knew that this man needed to get right with him. And so he brings his own person, Philip, to him. And look what he's reading. He's reading Isaiah the prophet. Philip ran to him and heard him reading. This man was educated as well. Not only was he religious, not only was he in the top job in the country, but he was also educated, well educated. He was reading scriptures, probably written in Hebrew. So he was knowing Hebrew. He was well educated. Returning and sitting in his chariot was reading the prophet Isaiah. He didn't by chance buy that scroll to read Isaiah. God had put it into his heart to do that. Why? Because God knew that on that journey back home, he would meet someone who would work on that word of God and show him the truths that would lead him to the Lord Jesus Christ to be his savior. Wow, it's wonderful. You know, man is so powerful. We can send people to the moon and around the moon. We can send satellites and things way out into the universes, and they can photograph these stars and these planets, and they think, wow, isn't it wonderful? This big bang thing happened and that was it. The scripture tells us that God created everything. There's billions of stars out there we don't even know about. And God has created them all. He created everything on earth. You know, there's a series on the television now called Evolution. I felt like phoning up the BBC and saying, look, we've got this evolution series on television. Why don't you have a series on creation? Perhaps I will one day. I don't know. We'll see. And here is this man. He's reading Isaiah the prophet. And the Holy Spirit tells Philip to run alongside this chariot. And he hears him reading the scripture. And Philip says, well, do you understand what you're reading? Wow, what an opening to us person. You know, we can meet people and we can have an opening. You know, the brother Alan, he was telling us, wasn't he, that he was in hospital and one of the doctors came around. And he said to the doctor, he says, you want to make my body well? He said, let me tell you about a doctor who makes spiritual things well in a person's life. And he went around the beds telling people about Jesus Christ, telling them that they needed to get right with him. And they started calling him the evangelist. Wow. We thank God for Alan for all that he has done. And we praise God for his being a servant of Jesus. You know, we can so easily misinterpret God's word. You know, Philip could have said, well, as he sat in that chariot, he could have turned and said to this eunuch, you know, do you have a good journey down from Ethiopia? You know, did you have good lodgings? Was there plenty of food, good food? He didn't sidetrack from what the scriptures were saying. What we are told is that at that point, he said to him, do you understand what you are reading? And at that point, he teaches and talks to him about Jesus. That's the important thing. Wasn't talking to him about how he got on in Jerusalem. Why did he buy the scroll that he was reading? Was he going to have a nice journey home? Was there a family at home? What was he going to do next? No sidetracking, straight to the point. He talks to him about Jesus. And that's what we should be doing. Quite often we miss the point, don't we? We so easily miss the point that we can talk to people, whoever they are, to tell them about the Savior. Yes, he was reading Isaiah, but he couldn't understand it. He's mentioned it himself. I ask you, of whom does this prophet say this? Of himself? or of some other man. And of course, that's the opportunity for Philip to go right in under the guiding hand of God, the Holy Spirit, right to the point. And he preaches to him, Jesus. You see, that's what the whole of the Old Testament is about. It's pointing to the Messiah who's come, pointing to Jesus. And especially Isaiah tells us, and in chapter 53, that wonderful thing about the suffering of the servant, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's so wonderful. 700 years before Jesus was born, telling people that this Messiah will come. What about you and me tonight here? Are we missing the point? Have you come into church to just spend an hour out of the house? Or have you come to hear God's word speaking to your heart and to your life? We can so easily misinterpret what is reading here. So this is what's happened to the sects, isn't it? They misinterpret. They put things in and take things out to suit themselves. But here is this man. He could have talked and said, oh, wonderful, the writing is, you know. Yes, that writing was 700 years ago, but no, he points him to Jesus and tells him of Jesus the Savior. He takes the word of Isaiah and preaches Jesus. Not himself, nor what he thinks. It is only when Jesus is lifted up will he draw all people unto himself. That's what he said to Nicodemus, didn't he? As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Pointing Nicodemus to a time when he would die on a cross at Calvary to save men and women from their sins. Is that you here tonight? Have you come to that position where you have seen Jesus dying on that cross at Calvary for you personally? It's a personal belief. Here is this man. He's on his own. Can you imagine? He's in this chariot. Of course, there's somebody that is driving the chariot. But he's there reading God's word, and it doesn't make sense to him. And here is this man sent by God to come alongside. Are you coming alongside someone to tell them about the Savior? Are you coming alongside to point people to the Savior? You know, this is what happens in revival times. People gossip, the gospel. They tell people about Jesus and what he's done in their life. Here's this man. He's on his way home. He's done his business as such. He's been to worship. But now he's going to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Wow. What a message. What a joy it come to this man's heart. Philip focuses on Jesus. He didn't get sidetracked. But he came to tell this man. We don't even know his name. We don't even know his name. That isn't important. Right? You know, we all like to have our names in lights, don't we? We all like to be noticed. We all like to be put up high. But this man, we don't even know his name. But he's there in Scripture. And he's been there for thousands and thousands of years. Why? Because it points people to Jesus. Here's this man. Religious. Educated. Top job in the country, able to do things that no other person could do because of the position that he was in. And yet, he wasn't born again. And yet, Philip talks to him. And already God was working a work in this eunuch's heart. Yes, in all truth, it was God who told him to buy that scroll on Isaiah in particular, on that particular verses. Wow. You see, God's in control of situations. Is he in control of your life? Have you allowed him to rule and reign in your life? Have you said to him, here I am, Lord, take me and use me as I am. Those were the cries, weren't they, from Samuel. Here I am, Lord. Speak, Lord, for your servant heareth. Wow. It's only when Jesus comes into a person's heart and life, satisfies that person. Notice that we don't know what was said in that conversation in the chariot, but what we do know is that as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me to be baptized? And what I'm going to read now is not awfully common in lots of the translations, but I believe that probably this did happen. Philip said to him, if you believe with all your heart, you may. You know, do we believe what Scripture is saying? Do we, when we come to church, believe what is being told us by the pastor? Have we accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior? If we have, then we rejoice. And this man did rejoice. He said, yes, I do believe. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Wow. Here's this man. We don't know how long Philip talked to him. Could have been 10 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour. But what he did tell him was about Jesus, and it spoke to this man's heart and life. And it changed him out of all recognition. Why? Well, we're told that he went and got baptized that moment, and he went home rejoicing. We don't know if he was sad before, I don't know. But what we do know here is that he went home rejoicing. When you come to the Savior, you know that all your sins, as I mentioned this morning, I showed you writings on the paper, and then I turned around and said, look, your sins are on there. And look, it's clean the other side, wiped clean, as if they never existed. I think I'm going to tell you this. I've told you it before, time and time again, when I've been able to take services here or even down in Coffee Morning. When I was a little boy in the valleys, my mother would perhaps run short of some things during the midweek. And she'd say, go round to Mrs. Murray's shop, tell her ask her for the things that I want, tell her to put it on the book. And I'd go round to Mrs. Murray's and I'd say, Mum wants this, that and the other. Can you put it on the book? Mrs. Murray would weigh out what was needed. She'd pull this ledger over. And she'd write in it, Mrs. Griffiths, 44 Grove Street, such and such a thing. And then she'd give me that. As a Christian man that works in Asda, perhaps you know him, David. And I said to him once, I said, David, how much is it? And he said, told me how much. I said, I'll give you the pence. I'll come back next week with the pounds, right? And he said, you can't do that anymore, he said. You could at one time, but not anymore. Well, Mrs. Murray would give me these goods. And I'd go home to my mum, and on a Friday when my father brought the pay home, my mother'd give me some money and go round to Mrs. Murray's to pay. Mrs. Murray would get that ledger out, and she'd write, paid in full. Couldn't come around again and ask for it. It was paid in full. Wiped out. As if that cost had never, ever existed. What about you this evening? Have your sins been washed whiter than the snow? Can you say honestly before God that all my sins, all the wrong things I've ever done in my life, being cleared by what Christ has done on the cross at Calvary? You see, Philip didn't promote himself. He didn't say to this eunuch, you ought to go back now and start work, back to Jerusalem and start working in the church. You know, things are going way, way wild there. Things are moving so fast, you know, come and join us. And so, no. He tells him about Jesus, and Jesus changes this man's whole life radically. He goes home rejoicing. We don't know what happened to him. He could have started a church there in Ethiopia. He could have told his family what had happened. Probably he did. And changed their lives too. You see, when God starts a work in a person's heart, he changes them. Perhaps you know some of the Jonas who used to come to this church here many years ago. And we knew of one, Elaine, Wendy, I should say first, one of the daughters. She got converted. Then another sister, Elaine, got converted. Then the mother got converted. Then the father got converted. And then there was the two younger children, Meryl and Philip. Wow. You see, when children come and they tell people, I told you the story downstairs here a couple of weeks ago, didn't I, about my aunt and my cousin. She was 100 years old last Sunday, week ago. And she has a milkman that comes to her house because she's elderly. She can't drive now as she used to. So she gets a milkman to come to bring milk and some goods for her. And he said to her, look, he said, you know, he said, a strange thing has happened. He said, my little boy, he said, he wants a Bible. And my cousin said, oh, I'll get him a Bible. She said, I'll get a child's Bible for him. After a few weeks, she got the Bible for him, gave it to the milkman. And he said, you know, I'm reading this Bible to him. Do you know what? It's good. He said, it's wonderful. He said, I think I ought to go to church. And she said, yeah, go to church. So she went to the church with his wife and the little boy to the other sister's church, which is an evangelical. And Andrew Norbury is the minister there. And after a time, the milkman got converted and his wife, and they were baptized just a couple of months ago, all because his son asked, could he have a Bible? You see, God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. Has he moved in your heart? Has he come to a situation where even this eunuch, this man who was so up in the land where he came from, was so powerful that he had all the treasury of the queen in his hand. He was a religious man. He was an educated man. And yet, he didn't know the Lord. Now, baptism doesn't make a Christian. Being christened doesn't make a Christian. Having your name written on the members list in a church doesn't make you a Christian. Coming to church every Sunday doesn't make you a Christian. What makes you a Christian is what this man knew, Jesus. Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Have you come confessing that you need him in your life? I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Wow, changed him out of all recognition. And he went down and he was baptized because of his faith in Jesus Christ. Is that you tonight? If it is, well, praise God. Thank him for what he's done for you. That you are now his child. That you can be called a child of the living God. And you know, God, you are the apple of God's eye. You know, he loves you so much. He wants you to be his and to hold tight to you. And Jesus says, when you're in my hands, there is nothing that can take you out of my hand. And because you're in my hand, you're in the Father's hand. And there's nothing on this earth or anything can take you out of my hand. And this man goes home rejoicing. We know no more of him. Perhaps, I believe, one day we'll see him in heaven. Why? Because this is what happened to him. He changed out of all recognition, loved the Lord Jesus Christ, and went home rejoicing. Is that you tonight? Are you rejoicing in the Lord? Are you living for him every day of your life? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to come into your life and live in your life that you might live for him and allow him to rule over every part of your life, to permeate into every department of your life, not just a little bit on a Sunday morning or an evening or both or one day in the week as well, but every moment of every day. Are you allowing him into your life? Wow, what a Savior, what a Lord. This man goes home rejoicing, and I'm sure Philip went rejoicing. We know that the Spirit took him up and he was found in Azotus, Ashdod. And he went preaching in that area until he came to Caesarea. Wow, here's a man of God who is obedient to God in what God asks him to do. Are we obedient to God in what God tells us to do? That we would tell others of this wonderful gospel. We don't have to be a preacher. We can only be what God wants us to be. Telling people about Jesus in the way that God calls us to do that. Oh, what a Savior, what a Lord. Let's pray that God would open our hearts and minds to the things of God, to allow him to lead and guide us in the days, months, and years, perhaps, that lie ahead. We don't know how long that's going to be, but whatever happens, that we will live for him. And I'm sure this Ethiopian eunuch lived for God. Why? Because he went home rejoicing that he knew the Savior, and that the Savior had him in his hands and was holding him tight. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you that you come into the hearts and lives of people, perhaps in so many different ways, yet, Lord, according to your will and purpose, you draw people unto yourself. We thank you, Father, for what you did in the life of this eunuch and what you did in the life of the eunuch you've done in our lives if we know you as Lord and Savior. You've changed us out of all recognition. Once we were dead in trespasses and sins, once we were the enemy. But thank you, Father, that we can call ourselves children of the living God who have turned in faith to trust in you. So bless us, Lord. Encourage us as we go our separate ways. Keep us by your might, by your power, and help us to live such lives that bring glory, honor, and praise unto our Savior. Amen.